If we are true believers, then there is a real desire in us to please God in the way that we think and act. We really want to live a godly and spiritual life. But the way this works out in our daily lives is that we often realize how wrong we are and how much we need to change. In this episode of the Hope for Hurting Wives series, we'll start off by looking at some of the very natural ways that a wife might respond to her husband's sin. For instance, she might just want to forget that the problem is there at all.
You know, the issue is comfort. That's the bottom line. Don't disrupt my peace. Don't go there and let's just act like everything's okay. At the expense of not caring enough about her husband to do something.
Or she might be hyper aware of the situation and want to control it.
Police wives are looking for evidence. They're detectives and they're looking for slip-ups when it comes to their husband's sin. They'll go through their pockets, they'll get on their phones, they'll just start scrolling. Look, they're looking for trouble.
But we won't only focus on the problems in this show. We'll round out the episode by talking about what it looks like to react in a godly way. All of that is coming up on the Pure Life Ministries podcast. Here we go. All right. Kathy Gallagher is in the studio with me. This is the 7th episode in our series, Hope for Hurting Wives. Kathy is the author of When a Secret Sin Breaks Your Heart and the co-founder of Pure Life. So thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Nate.
Kathy, if people watched the last episode, it really set the stage for what we're going to talk about today, because you were just explaining that at the foot of the cross, people are on level ground. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're a husband who's addicted to pornography or you're a wife who's dealing with bitterness and the judging spirit, like the need is the same. We're all in need of forgiveness. We're all in need of grace. And we all need to learn how to live a godly life in the situation that we're in, because it's not natural to live a godly life.
Right, no, it's not.
And that's why you opened the chapter with the prayer, "Oh Lord, help me to react in a godly way," right? Because there's a lot of ungodly ways to react.
Yeah, and hopefully people can see that, you know, when they react in a certain way with anger, rage, or bitterness, it's like, you know, the reaction should be, that should be scary. That should scare a person who's walking with the Lord for this rage, because that's a big thing. That happens a lot, this rage that's coming out, and it should be a check. It should be something that causes you to sit up and take note and not to excuse yourself, but to really be concerned that, man, I need the Lord. I need the Lord, because this is, it's like taking me, you know? That's kind of the feeling a lot of women will have. I know I did. It's like you start to see something about yourself that's not who I am. That's not who I've been. Who is this person? And it causes, hopefully, if it's not causing you to cry out, you need to ask. Because, yeah, how do you go through this in a godly way? Well, step one is to just keep humbling yourself before the Lord. Let the pain bring you to the foot of the cross. Let all of this humble you. It's not a bad thing. You don't have to fight your way and claw your way out of this issue. You have got to learn humility and repentance are just as important for you as it is for your husband. I know that sounds terrible to a lot of ears because they're so hurting and they're the victims, and they're right. I have a lot of compassion because I know what it's like, but I also know what the devil wants to do to you. I know what he's after. He wants you to become just as obsessed with bitterness as your husband has been with sex. That's what it doesn't matter. The sin doesn't matter to him. He wants your heart. And if he can get you hooked into rage, anger, bitterness, whatever, drinking, smoke, whatever the thing is, if he can get you hooked, he's got you. He's satisfied with just a little bit of backsliding, but he won't let it stay there. He's going to keep demanding more and more. And that's exactly what has happened to your husband. He got a hook in him. And at first it was just a little bit of something, and now he's consumed by it. That's the way the enemy is working. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, mm-hmm. It's an important thing to guard your heart with all diligence. It's just a big deal.
Yeah, and in the rest of this chapter, you identified four basic types of wives, right? Because, again, if you acknowledge, yes, I have just as much of a need in this situation as my husband does, then you kind of have to learn, like, okay, so where am I going wrong? Where am I in my own life going wrong? And you identified four basic types of wives, and I'll just read what they are. The enabling wife, the appeasing wife, the police wife, and the angry wife. And what you wanted to help them see was, okay, which one am I most like, or which one is active in my life at this current moment?
Yeah.
And how do I need to grow? How do I need to become more like Jesus? So let's talk first about the enabling wife. What is she like?
I can speak to this because I were that. The enabling wife is the wife who wants peace at any cost, who does not like disruption or turmoil. We're peace-loving souls, and we're very patient, can put up with a lot, and we just like the sea to be peaceful. We don't like disruption, and we don't like these huge bumps in the road. So we will facilitate peace at any cost. And for me, I just made it so easy for Steve to stay in sin, because I didn't bump up against, and this is in the beginning, things changed, but in the beginning, I allowed it, basically, because my mindset was that he will grow out of this. I just didn't know what I was dealing with, and I didn't understand the power of sexual addiction or what he was doing, and I just thought that he would see what a great wife I was, and he would, you know, get it together, and I would just be patient with him, and it was just so wrong. I was so wrong. We just will put up with a lot and say, I forgive you a lot, without any repentance, without any turning away. It's almost like we feel like it's on us to do all the work in the relationship and no requirements from the husband. So that's... In a nutshell, basically what an enabler does, they make it very easy for people to stay in sin.
Okay, so I know you can't answer with lots of specifics about how she needs to change, because every situation is very different. But if you could, I don't know, kind of like boil it down to one major way a wife who typically enables, how does she need to change? How does she need to grow?
She needs to repent of selfishness, because that attitude is completely ignoring what is happening to her husband. You know, the issue is comfort. That's the bottom line. Don't disrupt my peace. Don't mess up my comfort zone. Don't go there and let's just act like everything's okay, at the expense of not caring enough about her husband to do something. Now, I wouldn't say this to a police wife, but I am saying it to the wife who's an enabler. And an appeasing wife is the same thing. You just have to care more. You know, I have a nice personality, and I've always been a nice guy, and people mistake being a nice guy with, I don't know what, like, what I was hoping for is that my nice guyness would be enough to convince Steve to be nice back, rather than seeing the danger that his soul was in, which it was. I mean, I could see it. I just didn't know what to do with it. And I didn't know how to confront him. I didn't know how to deal with him. I didn't even know that I should, to be honest with you. I was so young. I didn't know, but I learned. And so for an enabler wife who's just putting up with it, thinking things are going to just automatically change on their own, you need to put on your boots and start doing some serious spiritual warfare on your husband's behalf, because this is not a game and it's going to cost you something if you care. But you have to care, and you have to see the real danger that his soul is in, and quit trying to protect your comfortable life and act like everything's okay. Everything's not okay, and he needs help. And you're the closest person to your husband. So this is where we talk about spiritual warfare, and we talk about prayer, which are basically the same thing as far as I'm concerned.
Hmm. Is there much of a difference between the enabling wife and the appeasing wife?
No, they're pretty much the same. It's peace at any cost. And I will be very honest. I've shared my testimony. It's in my book. It's in my Sacred Thing videos. The appeasing wife, which I was that also, went along with a lot of very wicked stuff just to keep my husband happy. Because what I wanted more than anything was for him to love me. And that was a pretty heavy fine on both of us, for me to be that self-centered. And that is what women with that propensity need to see. It's selfish. It's the flesh. Even though you're a nice guy, even though you've got a good personality, you're warm, people love you and think you're great and all that stuff, the reality is, if you're not willing to forego your comfort, your security, and your, you know, your nice little life for someone else, it's nothing. It means nothing. You know, your husband needs somebody in his corner who is going to step up to the plate and expect change, demand change in the right spirit. All this has to be learned. This does not come natural to anybody, but you have to unlearn how to, you've got your own version of selfishness. I did. I had my own version of selfishness. And I really totally believed in the whole fairy tale marriage thing and like what a disappointment Steve was. But I was so willing to do whatever to get that magic marriage. And it cost dearly for me to be in that spirit. But I changed eventually.
What would be a way that, because I get it, right? Like, I tend to be more like this, mm-hmm. more passive, peace-loving, yeah. Right? Yeah. It's hard. It does cost you. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you start, like you said, demanding change, what you're asking for is conflict, because yes. He doesn't want to change.
That's right. And that's exactly what you get is conflict.
Yeah. So what does it look like for her to demand change in the right spirit?
Well, I'm just going to share my testimony.
Sure.
What I did, because I finally got to the place. Again, you know, there's so much going on. There was so much going on. The Lord was dealing with me, which was totally out of the blue. I wasn't expecting that, but he was revealing things to me about me. And Steve's just going on his merry way, doing his merry thing, you know, whatever he wanted to do. But I'm not sure when or how, but the Lord just made it very real to me to stop my madness. So there was one incident that was kind of the catalyst for me taking a new path. And that was, I found out that Steve was in sexual sin with other people. It was always with other people again. And the Lord told me to separate myself. And I didn't want to do that. I wasn't up for that. I was willing to put up with a lot. But the Lord kept, it was like leading me to separate myself. So I did. And I told my mom and I told my oldest sister what was going on. And so they became my strength. So if the phone rang, I would run for the phone. They would answer it. They wouldn't let me answer the phone. Someone would knock at the door. They wouldn't let me answer the door. They tried to become a wall between me and Steve to keep me away from him. And it created enough of a distance that it made Steve wonder what was going on, because he didn't know I had help. All he saw was me resisting. And that was a very positive thing for both of us, because it made him wonder what was going on with me. But it also created, something just happened inside. It's like, I'm not going to live like this. It's just a growing sense of, I don't have to live this way. I'm not going to live this way. It just kept growing and growing and growing inside of me. I'm not going to keep doing this. And I told him, eventually we did have a conversation. I'm not going to live like this. I don't need you. That was huge for me. It was enormous for me. For those words to pass through my lips, that would have been anathema for me a month before. I could have never imagined life without Steve. Now I'm at a place where I'm not going to live like this. I'd rather be single the rest of my life than to live like this. And that was when things changed. And I started expecting change from him. If we were going to be together, I expect change. So a roller coaster ensued. And we'd get together. He would fall. I would leave. So I was trying to be strong in my own strength, which I didn't have much of. So I left him several times. But the Lord was using it to help. He was just growing me up emotionally, spiritually, and it eventually worked. It's like I meant it. I finally got to the point where I absolutely meant it. You're going to change or we're not going to be together. So, yeah. Mm. And he needed it. He needed me to do that for him. He needed someone to get in his face and tell him, we're not doing this. But to Steve's credit, and obviously the Lord was working in him. Underneath, beneath the surface, God was working in him. So he's got the Lord dealing with him, and he's got me resisting him and telling him, this is the way it's going to be. He needed the combination of my unwillingness to keep putting up with it. He knew he got to a point, and I got to a point, he knew I wasn't going to live like this anymore. So it kind of pigeonholed him. Now, I'm not saying that to teach people how to manipulate. I was just doing what I needed to do.
Well, and we're going to talk about like the police wife or the angry wife. And I know that you would say things differently to those wives. Mm-hmm. For you to take a stand was at a major cost to yourself and was for his good. You weren't trying to control him or manipulate him or make him pay. Like, it wasn't in that spirit. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, some wives would say, oh yeah, I'll absolutely leave him because, I'm going to make him pay.
Right.
And that's not what you're trying to communicate.
No, it was a work that the Lord was doing. I mean, giving me strength that I didn't have, but also coming alongside and caring enough about Steve to stand in his way a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
which he totally needed because without those roadblocks, he wasn't ever going to stop.
Yeah, he would have just...
Yeah.
Highway to hell.
Yeah. So let's talk about a totally different type of woman, very strong, assertive, aggressive.
Black and white.
Yeah. Sort of your type A. The police wife, what is she like?
She is in control of everything and everybody. She monitors, manages, fixes. They are a get-her-done kind of person. You know, they are very, I know a lot of them. A lot of them are my friends. And I respect them immensely because they're just so, they're usually very gifted, they're talented, and they can, they're doers. And they are controllers. And I don't say that in a negative way. They control their children. They control their homes. They're managing their homes. They're managing their family. They're just, they're pretty put together, but they can also be, usually what comes with that temperament, not always, and I don't mean to put people into a box, but they tend to be easily angered, kind of have a impatient side to them. They can be very hurtful with their words. So, police wives are looking for evidence. They're detectives, and they're looking for slip-ups when it comes to their husband's sin. They will rifle through their glove box in their car. They'll go through their pockets. They'll get on their phones. They'll go through. They'll just start scrolling. They're looking for trouble, and they want to correct. They're like a correctional officer. But they're trying to manage and control their lives. Their lives, their children's lives, and their husband's lives. It's a very strong impulse, or I don't know what to call it.
Yeah.
It's just very powerful in them. But The problem is usually they're married to men that are very sneaky and know how to get around the system. So it creates a lot of friction and tension and animosity in the home, especially for a wife to be in that towards a husband. Because usually a lot of the wives I've dealt with through the years, they can verbally emasculate a man with no trouble whatsoever. I deal with this a lot. I'm actually in the middle of something right now. They just say terrible things to try and get their husbands to do what they want them to do. So, yeah, it can be, it's hard. It's hard to change your personality.
Yeah.
It is. It's hard.
Yeah.
But it requires the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you can really, you've got to try to change, but yeah, I'm not sure you can do it in the flesh.
Right. So what does this woman need to do? The police wife, how does she need to grow so that she's acting more like Christ?
She needs to take her hands off the control panel, you know, and yeah, good luck, because it's built in. Like, it was built in for me to just be peace loving. And I mean, it's just who I am. I like peace and I like nice things. And I, you know,
I don't want life to be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She, the police wife, just, she wants things the way she wants them. And it's hard to let go, which is what she needs to do. She has to let go. Because the way that she wants to, the way the Lord led me, for example, to help Steve, he had to bring me out of my natural thing, which was to just forget it and act like it wasn't there. He had to bring me out of that, and he had his way of doing it. For her, the Lord's going to have to do the same. He's going to have to bring you out of what is natural to you and start doing things by the Holy Spirit and for the right reason. You know, you got to quit controlling him, because it's all for you. It's all to keep your world together, and it's all about how it looks to the outside world, and it's all about how it's affecting you. It doesn't really have a whole lot to do with him or the danger that his soul is in, and our whole perspective has to change about why we're doing what we're doing. You're not doing it out of love. You're doing it out of your control freak. And so that is what the Lord is going for. He's going to go after that. He's going to soften that. He's going to temper that. He's going to bring some humility into your life. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And a lot of women who are controlling types are usually tend to be proud. We all are. I'm prideful. I know I am. But it's harder for some temperaments to not be proud. But the Lord will bring what he needs to bring, because he's totally balanced and he knows exactly what we need. And my advice is just humble yourself and let the Lord work in you and try as hard as you can. It is excruciating, because I had a little bit of the police wife thing going on in me too. I was looking, I would look for stuff. And what do you do when you find it? Where does that take you to? Okay, you found more evidence. He was doing something. Now what? You're going to go punish him? That's not the right way to deal with this. That is totally the world's way. That is a worldly mindset. You cannot punish your husband. It's not biblical. It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. He's going to resist. He's going to fight. He's going to go underground. He's going to lie. He's going to cheat, because he can't tell you the truth.
Sure. What does it look like to let go for a wife like that?
It means that she's going to have to take hold of the Lord in a very real way and start entrusting herself into the Lord's hands, and to learn how to really intercede, go into prayer closet. This sounds so empty and so hollow to so many ears, because people say, I have prayed, nothing happened. That's not a good thing to be saying. God answers prayer. He hears us when we pray. And our prayer life means that when we're praying, something is happening for someone else because we're praying. And if you don't believe that, then why would you pray? So it points back to you and your faith. Do you believe what Jesus said about praying and how Jesus prayed? I mean, look at all the, just do a study on prayer. The life of David, just the whole Bible, just study the word prayer and all the times it's mentioned in Scripture, the power of it. But we don't believe it because we want now. It's got to happen now. I want now. It doesn't happen that way. You've now entered into the kingdom of God where things are done His way, not your way. And so I just want to encourage wives to pray, man, please pray for your husbands. God is hearing and He's answering. It's maybe not happening as fast as you want or the way you want, but your prayers are affecting change. Don't stop praying. And if you haven't started, get started.
You mentioned that a police wife tends to be easily angered, but you also... The fourth category of, or the fourth type, you said just the angry wife. So I'm assuming that some women are just more angry than others.
They tend to be in life just more choleric, if you can say it that way. And
just everything irritates them, frustrates them.
Can be that way, yeah. I haven't dealt with a lot of women like that. Usually they have to be provoked. But once they get to that place, like you start off as a police wife and you're monitoring and you're watching and he's not obeying the rules, then she becomes a very angry wife and she lives in bitterness and anger. And this is very, very near and dear to my heart because I have people in my life that live in that spirit. And it is dreadful how these people end up. Dreadful. It's painful. It brings me to tears when I think about it because there are people I love who live in absolute rage and wrath and bitterness, and they are so lost. So if I'm speaking to any young women, guard your heart because it can happen. You know, being a Christian is work. It's effort. It's not something that just happens to you. God doesn't just magically pluck you out of He didn't pluck your husband out of sexual sin. He's not going to pluck you out of an angry spirit. You have to work it. And it's a very real thing. Anybody who says that being a Christian is for wimps is crazy. They have no idea what it means to be a Christian. It requires effort. I'm not talking about works, salvation by works. I'm so tired of hearing that. But walking with Christ is effort. It does require effort. Of course, there's grace. There's power, but there's also effort and work. You have to work out some of these things.
How does an angry wife need to change?
She needs to repent of it. She has to turn away from it. She has to see the sin of it. And that's actually true of all the things we've talked about, all the ways that we try to keep our comfort, be peaceful, control, monitor, manipulate through anger, whatever. It all requires repentance, turning away from the self-life. That's all it is. It's the flesh just living itself out, in a lot of cases justifying itself because of what's been done to us. That is such a trap that the enemy has set before you. If you have got to care more about your life with God than anything else. And until that happens, you're going to just keep repeating the cycle in your own life. You have to care more about your life with God to even do any of this.
Yeah, I think what you've done today is really helpful because it just reminds me again, you can't live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Like no matter what your temperament is or your situation, if you don't have the power of God working in your life, you're just going to be a version of self.
Yeah. So it's going to be a words-only Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is really helpful. And I would just encourage anyone who's listening or watching to buy the book because there's a lot more there than we've been able to cover.
Yeah.
And it's available on our bookstore.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Nate.
All right, that's it for this episode. Next time, Kathy will be back with me for a whole episode on the incredible power of God's Word, both to sustain us in every trial and to transform us from the inside out. You do not want to miss that show. God bless. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Josh, and I work in the video department. Pure Life Ministries was a pioneer ministry to Christians struggling with sexual addiction. For nearly four decades, we have been discipling Christian men and women into the holiness and purity of heart that comes from a spirit-controlled life. Everything we teach and preach in this ministry is founded on the unwavering truths of the Word of God. You can visit us on the web for more information about our life-changing counseling programs and powerful teaching materials. Also, check out our video clips of men and women whose lives have been radically transformed. All that and more at purelifeministries.org.